PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week for, I believe, his second time on the show, long-awaited second return, is Mr. Ben Malloy. He's the founder and CEO of Evolve Golf. Ben, it is great to have you back.
And it's always great to be back. Definitely excited to catch up. You always have the smartest people on your show talking golf tech every week. So I'll do my best not to lower the bar.
Well, I bring the right people on is what I like to think. So you're clearly here for a reason. I've been desperate to get you back on because I know you guys have been busy and doing exciting things. And let's just get started with it. Tell me, how are things at Evolve, and how have things evolved over the last year or two?
Yeah, I mean, look, last time we were on, we were talking about customization and that it was exploding, and it's just not slowed down. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. We've got an incredible team of, graphic designers putting together idea boards and mock-ups, and, incredible group of makers that are just executing the ideas that get thrown their way. So it's been a lot of fun.
So,
by the way, we make a lot of golf tees in between.
Yeah, at least a couple anyway. It's funny you mention that, because I probably said this the last time and I'll say it again. Epoch has been a massive part of my golf story for a long time. It was first introduced to me when you collabed with THP for the first time years ago. And man, it's like, if I don't have one in the bag at this point, it just, or in the pocket, it feels weird. I'll have a long one, usually a 2.75, and then a little shorty for the par threes. And then, yep, I break the long ones and they turn into par three tees. So now I have a billion of them. There is a consistency in my bag that exists, but it's also like I have to have one of each in my pocket, or I feel like I'm not ready to get my round going. So, that's been years in growth for me. And I need to heckle you a little bit. I need all the options, Ben. I don't want one. I don't want two. I'd love to see more THP stuff going on, but I want all the options. When are we just going to explode with Epoch?
Yeah, I mean, like, this has been a talking point internally for us, right? Is that, like, personalization, when we first got started with compostable performance tees, was like a niche thing. Like, can you put a logo in the cup, said, the Olympic Club, Olympia Fields, Brookline? Like, that was one of our big challenges. And now it's an expectation, right? Like, here you are, right? You've got expectations. And I love that, right? So part of it has been capacity driven for us. Part of it has been technology driven. Like, how do you do full color in the cup and do it at high speed? These are real challenges. We can do, 100 parts per minute, 100 tees per minute with a band and a logo crest above it, dancing THP icon. That's really easy. But where it gets really hard is when you're trying to do some full color customizations into the cup. And there's been a lot of demand there doing unique things.
Oh, so, okay. So it's not just the side. Now the conversation is like, all right, let's get it in the top as well. And, really build up this presentation.
Yeah, we keep causing problems for ourselves. I mean, like, we introduced these T-height bands in like 06, 07, and now everybody wants two bands, three bands, four bands, crest above it. It's a good tool, right? Consistent T-height, and that's another time, another techie nerdy thing, but most golfers can't tee it up properly. It's comical to see. Put them on a track, man, and you show them the difference of consistent T-height. It's like, yeah, you got to deliver the club face to the ball consistently and go see your PGA pro if that's a problem. But when you do, if you're off a quarter of an inch, it can be a lot of yards of distance.
So it would be funny to poll the number of people who've used an Epoch tee to ask them, is this a purposeful thing on the side, or is it just to make it look pretty? I bet a decent percentage would say look pretty.
Oh, absolutely. Style over substance. Always.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you talk about bands, because I think about like custom ferrules and the way that those are going crazy right now, where, all the different band colors, it's sort of like, it's not quite to the level of a head cover, but whatever you choose to use, people will judge you for, and good, bad, or indifferent. There's a number of people. If I brought out a pink tee with a couple different color bands, they might start to give me some grief about maybe moving up to a different set of tee boxes. Or, you know, adversely, if I'm here in Ohio, if I have one that's, you know, blue and yellow, they're going to be like, go back to Michigan, bro. Like, what are you doing here? There's a clear presence that exists when you plug it in the ground. And I kind of love that about it. It's not just like, oh, it's just a random wood tee. Like, there's so much beyond that component of it. So, I want to segue that a little bit to say that it's not that you're not doing it. You're just doing it in smaller batches, because if you go to your Instagram, it's loaded with custom tees that are being sent to golf courses or, you know, whatever it may be. I'd love to know, and I'm trying to avoid going like the full broader sense of this, because we will end up talking about the, would you say, the pro shop mentality of a lot of your products. But from an individual perspective on T-Box, you're clearly showing you can do just about anything.
Sure. And a lot of that, even with our club customers and our resort customers, is coming to light too. It's not just one tee for a golf facility. It's multiple tees for multiple 18-hole tracks. It's having a different tee in the grill room. It's having a different tee for the ladies, you know, weekend group. It's this member guest tournament. It's this corporate outing. And, you know, I mean, we're humble. We're a tee company, right, that does custom tee gifts. And we love the personalized side, the small batch releases. But it's hundreds of millions of parts on an annual basis. It's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of components to this business. And frankly, I'm at my happiest when I'm in the lab with the maker team and, you know, working on new products and just having a blast. But then there's the other side of it is, okay, you know, we've got spring pre-book already underway for 2026. And we're booking, again, hundreds of millions of tees. We're getting them on the production schedules. We're rolling. And then there's this emerging side of small batch personalized golf tees. And we want to make sure we're, you know, we're doing that intentionally. And we just want to create an experience where, you know, you come to the website, you upload a photo, you design it the way you like it. You know, we take a look at it, we get it printed. I mean, in some ways it feels sterile. And we're trying to fix that too. So, you know, we don't want to just be, you know, the Vistaprint of golf tees. You know, we want it to be something where there's fun designs and easy ways for you to kind of rep your style.
Yeah. The interesting thing to me is, like, you see a lot of variety when it comes to the different courses. And I assume they're pretty heavily involved in what they want to have on their product and what they're willing to put out there. How often do you see a design they bring to you and you're like, wow, that would look good, you know, in our shop without their logo, with our logo on it?
Sure. There's that, right? There's always the melding of ideas and inspiration. That's a lot of fun, right? So we look at it from two different directions. And it's funny. We do have customers quite frequently that just come to us with, what if? Here's our logo. What do you want to do with it? Or here's, you know, here's a specific idea we want. Could you build that? So there's that dynamic. And that could be a challenge too with, okay, this is what we did last year with our tees. What are we doing this year? You know, we've had, and I've mentioned it before, I mean, we've had clubs that just want to do a different theme every single year. Others, it's very traditional. This is our look. This is our Pantones. Mm-hmm. This is the positioning. This is the sizing. This is where it goes down to the millimeter. Okay. So yeah, it's fun.
So I think one of the interesting ways to look at Evolve and how it impacts everyday golfers is not necessarily you're going to go to the website and you're going to purchase something. In my experience has been, a lot of times I go into a pro shop and I see your logo and I can't help but smile, because I know, like, oh, okay, they're here. That's really cool. And then I get to see some of the concepts you've created for this particular golf course that's present and available to purchase. And Ben, why I think that matters is because I look at products like tees or ball markers or divot tools in sort of a different way than I do a lot of things. And what I mean by that is, you can take a picture, but there's something about having like a tangible core memory that really allows you to connect to an experience you've had. And what I appreciate, one of the most things I appreciate about Evolve, is you're creating really high quality products that you can take away from these moments in your life and really cherish for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. That's the fun part that we deal with almost every day now, which is, yeah, whether it's a buddy trip or, you know, a groomsman gift, you know, it's groups want swag, for a better term, that marks the trip, creates identity, right? A good memory of time well spent with friends. Like that's what we're trying to capture, right? You know, obviously we're doing custom tees. We'll talk a ton of that. I mean, from Epoch golf tees to our wood tees that plant trees, right? Like, but there's also this whole component of foundry works and leather works and woodworks and kind of a mashup of all of them, where we're designing functional packaging from valuables pouches to, you know, custom hardwood boxes, all with the intent of making that experience memorable, right? So we like to say it all starts on the tee, right? It's a tee gift. It's we try to stay connected to who we are and what we do, where our lane is.
I'm not saying you're making me mad. I'm laughing because that's literally the next line that I'm going to touch on. Is if you go to Google and look up Evolve Golf, you have the website, the name of the company, and then it says it starts on the tee. And I think that's an incredibly interesting point, because now we're talking about the custom side of things. Now we're talking about, you get to a trip with your buddies and then suddenly you have this, you know, tangible memory, which is insanely cool. I saw more recently for that, the Morgan Cup this year, there are a couple boxes handed out with the team logo on top that these guys will be able to take home and, you know, store whatever they want in it, whether it's, you know, nice watches or ball markers or whatever you want. Like it's there for them to decide. And it's more than just, you know, something you shove into the ground and fix a ball mark with. So I think that's where it gets really curious. And I'd love to know how much that's changed for you guys, where people are really recognizing the quality of the craftsmanship and it becomes more than just, hey, I just want to get my guy something to, hey, I want to get my guy something or my lady something really nice that they can take away from this trip.
Yeah. I mean, I know sometimes you guys talk industry and marketing and so this is kind of an interesting challenge dynamic for us, in that our golf facility customers recognize that. They see where we're going directionally. They have expectations. They challenge us. They love to see that makerspace identity. But just with, as it is with our tees, you know, we pivoted to being a green grass company back in 06, right? Selling direct to wholesale, really focusing on custom versus the retail side of the business. And as a result, a lot of people don't know Evolve Golf, right? They don't know the brand, right? Our job is to, I kind of hate the word, but it's a good word, like elevate our customers' brands, right? We're there to create their exceptional experience. So for us, it all starts on the tee is very much a value statement for us. I mean, we talk about it internally, right? From a club, you know, member getting a tee to your, you know, you're going to Whistling Straits, you're going to play Black Wolf Run. Like there's this incredible logo in the cup. There's, you know, there's just this experience that gets created, right? It doesn't say Evolve Golf. It's not about us, right? It's about that experience. It's about teeing it up with your foursome. It's about hitting that drive down the middle, every birdie. Maybe it's the one you knocked out of bounds and your friends gave you a great ribbing for off the first tee of like the absolute destination golf course you had to hit, right? But whatever it is, it's a memory, it's an experience. And we want to be behind those things. And that to me is what that means, right? It all starts on the tee. Like people say, well, it's just a golf tee. Yeah, well, it is. Maybe it's a little more, right? And that's the piece that we try to figure out. That's where the whole tee gifts concept came from. Like, how do we create a gifting experience, a tee gift?
Yeah. And I'd love to expand on that in regard to you making decisions, maybe not from like a full production concept, but, you know, how do you land on something when someone brings an idea to you? You'd mentioned like sort of blank slated from these people there, these groups that say, hey, come up with something for us, help us out here. How tall is that room you live in? How much fun can you have?
Yeah, that's, Wow, that's a deep conversation, one that has developed a whole product development roadmap process internally. And you know, we look at things, we start with an ideation concept, right? Where you know you're looking at, okay, is this a spin on something we've done before? Is this something we can execute within 30 days from concept to delivery? Okay, that has a different process it goes through to our makers, right? Versus, you know, sometimes it's something that would be a new product line or new concept that's going to involve production processes and equipment. And so that goes down more of a standard track, right? And then within that standard track, we set really specific milestones for how we measure success. We do customer discovery. We try to make sure that, is it us, which is such an ethereal concept, right? Like, we do leatherworks, but we don't do head covers. That space is so well covered. It's so well done. Like, how are we going to perfect upon the head cover? Like, even with unique designs, they're just so well done by so many strong companies. So that's kind of part of it too. You know, so many people have been doing, you know, flight award winners and you know, trophies and whatnot. Well, how do we come at it from a, you know, kind of a maker's perspective of mixed materials and, you know, hardwoods and hand forged metals and leather inlays, and like, how do we make it a special piece? You know, that's another part of that filter of, is it us, right? Is it something that we feel like somebody would be happy to hang on their, you know, in their flight room simulator, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking behind your left shoulder and I see the THP logo on a piece of wood, and I just recently watched a video when the guys were down at headquarters cutting the THP logo into a piece of wood. And it's like, the problem with that is when I see something like that, I'm like, oh well, I want a THP logo cutting board, you know, let's get crazy. Yeah. Today and I assume that you get a lot of inquiries to say, hey, can you do this?
Yeah. I mean, like, if we're going to do a cutting board, we're going to think, you know, maybe it's more of a charcuterie board, and can we do it in the shape of, you know, one of the signature holes? And like, then right, can we make a couple of the sand traps, dipping areas? And like, that's the type of stuff that our team goes nuts on. Like, I did hang that deliberately, right? And it's a great indication of a product that's not done yet, right? Yeah. It was a prototype. It's, you know, we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we cut the shape of the THP icon, you know, out of the wood? Do we do an inlay? If we do an inlay, is it like a, what's the contrast look that we're trying to create? Like, this is something that we love to just put challenges up and figure out, how are we going to make that thing so that you do, you know, want to hang that up in your flight, you know, in your golf simulator room. I don't know why I said flight simulator, right? But the idea maybe being that too. Yeah, I mean, or you want to put it in your garage, whatever it is, right? It's right. Just, it's something, it's identity, right? I consider myself a THPer. I've been lurking long enough, almost 20 years, you know. I every once in a while pipe up as just a golfer, right? So I get it, right? It's about that place and time and who you are. So can we create that? But at the end of the day, right, it's golf. We all love the game, and that's kind of what we try to focus on. We're really lucky to do what we do, all of us.
Yeah. Have you had many moments where people come to you with an idea and you really struggle to either land on something or put what your authentic spin would be on it and aren't able to get there? Or is it typically you land?
We've said no. For sure. And typically, if we say no, it's, we don't think we can pull it off in the time frame in which the ask has been made. We've said no. I'll give you a small example. Like our hand forged metals, we had an ask of, well, we want to order 10,000 of those per year, and we want to pay $4 a piece. We're like, well, we're not going to do that. And now you look in the market and you see these $10, $12 die struck that look like they were hand hammered. I'm like, really? I mean, okay. If that's what you want, it's nickel plated. It's not, you know, 304 stainless steel or, you know, copper that was truly hand forged. And then, you know, I mean, like, so I don't want to be in a race to the bottom on price on things like that. It's, we're trying to make things that, you know, are kind of blending, you know, old school makers traditions with kind of modern designs that are fun for golfers. Like that's the lane. So I know that's a long-winded way of saying, you know, we will say no, but most of the time we love to say yes. Like we had a challenge of, you know, can you make us a member guest trophy that's, you know, for aging cocktails and white American oak. And, you know, we were like, all right, let's go. And we did it. You know, and that was one of those fast tracks. We from the ask to the execution was 30 days.
So the trophy thing is really interesting to me because I've seen some of the other things going on. Like you've got ornaments, you've got different hanging pieces on the wall, but the trophy is a really curious one. Do you stick with wood on that or do you mix it up? What is the end game on a trophy for in your brain?
Yeah, I mean, we want to mix it up. We want to do more mixed materials. And I'm really excited about where we're going without saying where we're going.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, if in my ideal world, anybody who knows me knows I want a forge out in the back of this, you know, this warehouse where we can do some really high end work and do commissioned pieces, you know, from, you know, but yeah, we think there's a space there for us.
So tell me a little bit about some of your different leather works. I've seen koozies, like drink holders or valuables pouches. How has that progressed over the last year or so?
Well, I mean, look, the High Noon crowd almost broke our production this year. Last year we showed up with, you know, this small wall of slim can coolers, you know, with the neoprene lining and then the two-way leather look. And we, by the second day, not exaggerating, started saying, we don't think we can take any more orders. Wow. So then it was, we got back to the shop. It's like, okay, what equipment do we need to go faster? You know, we need more sewing machines. We need more people trained to sew. And by the time we hit May, we were able to open up production again. But we literally walked away with more than, it had never happened before. You know, in 20 years, last year was the first year we can't take any more orders or we're going to fail.
That's crazy. So, and it's great because, you know, foam works okay, but it's not as cool as some of the other things, you know. Same thing as like a Crown Royal bag works just fine, but wouldn't it be cooler if it was like this sick leather?
Yeah, but look, and that's the thing, right? Like it's just a can cooler, except we made it really freaking well. Like it's got, you know, you can customize the stitch color, you can do two-tone leather, you know, it's got a 2mm recycled neoprene lining in it. Like it's a classy piece. It's, you know, when you break that out, you will catch flack. You're going to get strays because it's just like, oh, aren't you being fancy, you know, with your Mech Ultra and your $30 can cooler.
Yeah, cheap beer, high-end holder, I guess you could say.
Let's go.
I don't want to discount too much on Project Goodwood, on some of the other tea options, your wood piece from the tea perspective. Listen, I'm an Epoch guy all day long, but I can understand a lot of people that prefer wood. Has that changed much over the last year, and are you seeing some continued growth there?
So it's interesting for us, right? We've always been, again, the word intentional about materials, from recycled plastics to biomaterials, right? And when we looked at wood teas, we looked at it and said, okay, you know, how can we do this a little bit differently? There was demand from clubs that, you know, wanted wood and that they weren't going to change, right? You know, so Epoch continues to grow in popularity, right? We still have clubs that don't want tea litter, that don't want the wood teas all over the place. The members prefer having one tea in their pocket for an entire round. Like there's a value to that. But then there's also clubs that, you know, and facilities that just feel like it's the red line. It's the last vestige of tradition we have left in the game, right? And so my favorite phrase is like, every once in a while, I'll poke into, you know, a wood versus plastic tea argument in some thread. And the comments always make me laugh because somebody invariably will be like, plastic teas are cheap. I'm like, so we're playing a feathery golf ball with hickory shafts and leather wrapped grips, apparently. Like, there is nothing cheap about making an Epoch ABS plastic tee, right? I mean, we're doing high speed automation, we're using recycled materials. These tees are built to last. You know, it's something, you know, for a lot of facilities too, they like the identity of you know, the custom tee. And so, you know, it becomes a real expense when, you know, every sixth swing, the wood tee is snapping in half. I love that. I love to break wood tees. Don't get me wrong. But there's a piece to that. And we were like, well, we can make both, but if we're going to do it, what's our sustainability message, right? It's a little bit of our foundation. I never preach it, right? But like the end of the day for us, if we can make it greener and create a good product, let's do it. And so wood tees that plant trees was too easy. We've planted 40,000 trees throughout the US, right? So, you know, last time I checked, the canvas that we play this great game on is played outdoors. And so if we're protecting the forests and the wildlife, that's probably a pretty good thing. And so that's how Project Goodwoods came to be. And now it's a huge piece of our business, but it's not eroding what we're doing with Epoch at all. We look at it and say, we just want to make good golf tees. And we think we're doing that. But, you know, I mean, we talked about this a little bit last time. Like, we're pursuing like tough backyard compostable biocomposites that are reinforced with natural fibers. This is a very difficult technological challenge. Like, we're literally doing this, you know, with some progressive startups in the material space. We're working at the industry level. University research is in support of what we're doing. And there's some really big industry players that are also pursuing this space. It's not just about compostability. It's about better, stronger materials, right, that have great end of life. So again, if we can make a golf tee that's durable enough to survive a round of golf while being made responsibly, like, we are all about that. And we're getting close to that. It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm starting to think I'm sharing my screen somehow with you, because every item just getting hammered on. And I absolutely love it, because while it makes my transitions a little harder, I appreciate that we're on such a similar wavelength. I did want to go back to the last discussion we have, because I was really shocked in the way that you talked about the challenges of plastic and the idea that you want to find. And I think this, as you mentioned, is a pretty company-based conversation to try and stay within a very sustainable, fair, and clean or natural way of going about building your product line. How much has that improved over the last year? Have you seen significant benefits, or not benefits, growth to the idea or concepts on biocomposites, or is it taking time?
Yeah, there's, I'll be able to talk a little bit more to this, but we're now involved with a startup that broke out of research that Evolve Golf funded, that's in this space that, you know, makes bioplastics tougher. It's a nano-based technology. It's basically bridging the gap between the glassy side of materials and the rubbery side of materials. And that's been a disparate thing from a chemistry standpoint with bio-based materials. And so if you can bring those into a true composite, right, you can create a toughened material, right? And that's been a big holdback for biomaterials. If you can compatibilize it with natural fibers, you get a really interesting aesthetic, and we're really excited about the direction we're going. We have a toughened material now.
I'll tell you what, you talk about me bringing the smart people on as though you're not one of them. That was a pretty interesting little soundbite there, that the things you have working on behind the scenes.
That's my one lane, right? Materials, especially biomaterials, right? Like that was the first product we ever, you know, launched with Epoch. It was backyard compostable. It was made 100% from plants. It was 100%, you know, into the ground as just plant matter when it was gone. Like, It was incredible, except they snapped on every swing. So we had to overcome that technical challenge, and it's been years in pursuit, right? And so it's just like anything with any business or any pursuit, right? You're made smarter by the people around you. And I've sought out really, really smart people.
I got a note that there was an acquisition you guys made regarding a tea printing partner you had that you've been working with for over a decade. What happened there?
Yeah, they're like family, right? I mean, it was a symbiotic relationship struck in about 08, where, you know, we met up with a gentleman who had a printer in a barn in DeLand, Florida. Not exaggerating, it's a golf tee printer. And so, you know, he said, well, I want to be your Kinko's. You know, it's funny we made the Vista print joke earlier, right? But that literally was his pitch to me. And we were like, all right, let's start printing tees. And so, you know, I was coming to him with this sweet spot system concept where I was putting these dots on the tee for a specific alignment to a specific driver and this database nerdy stuff. And he goes, well, wouldn't it be nice if we could do it with bands that printed it all the way around? I'm like, you can do that? He's like, yeah, let me send you some. And so here we are, you know, 15 years later, and, you know, it was a weird relationship in the sense that we were his only customer and he got 100% of our printing business. And we were all, for all intents and purposes, you know, a family already. But bringing the two companies together really tightened up what we can do, you know, where we're going to kind of push product development, to push automation. It's allowing us to have more resources. It's kind of, you know, we, the two teams joined forces, and it's been a lot of fun. So, you know, that as that was coming together was just as, you know, and I'm, you know, we talked about it a little bit just before, that's when I found out I was diagnosed with cancer right in the middle of an acquisition of a longtime partner. And, you know, as also part of that, we were buying out our legacy investors. And it's like, you can't unwind those things once they're set in motion. So, you know, it was one of those, you know, moments where you're like, this is a heck of a plot twist, right? Like, you're 2 weeks ago, I'm looking at, okay, we're making these huge, you know, transactions as a company. It's a big growth moment for us. And then, you know, next thing you know, you're having your prostate removed a month later. So, I mean, it gave you, at least for me, it created, like, I don't know, what's the right word? Like, perspective a little bit. I mean, everybody says that, but it forces a level of clarity, like what matters. And, you know, I think it made me appreciate all that we had around us a lot more. Right. And that drives me back to the compostability projects, right? It's like, where are we going to drive harder into product development? Where can we, you know, make practical progress really quickly, right? And being on the other side of this, getting, you know, the clear PET scan, the zero PSA post-surgery, getting the clear bill of health, right? I mean, you just recognize just how incredibly fortunate you are to work in this golf industry and do the things that we do, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we're making custom golf tees and custom tee gifts. And that's a lot of fun, right? So, but before all of that, it felt like serious operations and, you know, workflows and automations. And you lose sight of, you're making golf tees that are for fun, you know, sometimes. So,
you're making tangent, golf tees,
but it's relevant.
Yeah. You're not just making golf tees though. You're creating confidence for players. And at the same time, some of your other stuff, you're creating tangible core memories. I want to really hammer down that thought is you're creating something that someone's going to look at and just be thrilled to have a part of their world, you know?
Yeah.
I'm really grateful that you shared a bit of your story. Obviously we want to respect that as much as we can, but it sounds like it was a hell of a year, and I couldn't be more happy to see you laughing and, you know, talking about the back to norm sort of process stuff that that makes Evolve great and I think becomes a real that is your true passion. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean that's all the fun, right? I mean, like, Josh reached out just as it was kind of becoming clear what I was dealing with, and we were talking about, you know, putting together another you know, THP or experience for 2025. And I said, you know, I really want to do it, but I'd really like to maybe do that for 2026. Let me get on the other side of this, because I've got ideas. I mean, I want to do a swag apocalypse, right? I just want to have a ton of fun. And then, you know how Josh is, like, his head just, he's always thinking, and he's given us ideas, and we're just going back and forth. And it's like, at the end of it, it's like, I hope we wrote some of that down.
Yeah.
Right. And so, we're definitely going to do something with a couple of, THB members to a Dormy course next year. We've got some small batch drops in the works that we're super excited about. But yeah, I mean, that's the fun part of it, to be back on the other side of it, smiling, thinking through like progression. Because if I'm being honest, like, there was a moment, through the whole thing where it's like, I'm not really seeing past surgery yet. Mm. Right. Like, that's the goal. I got to get there. Right. I got to do everything that I can to get that, cancer-free diagnosis, knowing that you're not in control of this. That outcome is not a given. And for so many, it's not always so fortunate. And so, that was a lot. And so, I do get excited about now I'm on, to that side where you can see out, in the next 3 to 5 years and really be pushing hard after it. But yeah.
You talked about perspective, and I thought that was an interesting point to make, taking a step back and recognizing where you are and, making the short-term focus go away for a little bit and look at long-term and what you've done to get to this point. You've been at this Evolve thing for a long time. And I think the way you speak about a lot of your initiatives that are involved in the bio stuff, the biocomposites, or would you say composites or composites? I can never get it right.
Composites, it's a
Canadian
thing.
Okay.
I don't think you're wrong.
Biocomposites is the most Canadian thing I'll say on the show, I think, ever. But the point
being,
I'm
not going to argue about that.
Listen, we got to talk about that poster on your wall too while we're at it. I'm really curious to know, when you had those moments to sit back and get some perspective on your brand Evolve, did you look at it in a mostly fondly way and at least get a little pride about what you've accomplished?
I gotta be honest, I didn't do that. I really? At no point did I think that way, right? Like, I love what I do. I've been an entrepreneur since I was a kid, from a lemonade stand to, hustling used ski equipment and selling t-shirts and college. Like, I'm always thinking forward, not back. You learn from mistakes for sure, but like, I don't know that I've thought about like, where does Evolve Golf sit in all of this, right? Like, we try to make really good golf tees. We try to be intentional about the materials that we use, and I hope it sticks around. Like, how about that? Like, that would be a truth. I'd love to know that, in another 25 years, Evolve Golf is still part of the game. I think that would be important to me.
Hmm. Well, I've heard rumors, not really rumors because it's on THP at this point, but there is a pretty sweet holiday code for the website. It's THP 2025. I think it gets you like 20% off, which is pretty sweet. I would definitely recommend anyone checking that out. Again, it's THP 2025. Try not to sell the entire store out. There's a lot of great stuff on there.
I gotta be honest, THPers have broke us a couple times, and that's been a lot of fun. Get a fresh pack of tees, get a fresh pack of our emotional socks. There's still time to order personalized, ball markers or divot tools. We can get them done before the holidays if you guys are doing, Yankee swaps or Secret Santas or stuff like that. We're ready to load up. And even if that, golfer, in your life is you, little self-care, jump on there and get something that you like. But we're hoping to throw some small batches up too. This wall hanger might just show up in the next week or so. Probably be a limited thing, but yeah, we're looking forward to having some fun.
That's awesome.
For 2026, I don't know what we're going to do for this THP experience, but, we've got a lot of ideas.
I can't wait to see what comes of it. It's always entertaining when Evolve and THP get together. So I'm confident it's going to be the perfect level of chaos. And I'd assume you're going to take everyone down, straight up head to head. you're taking them all down, right?
No, not unless it's a putting contest. That's my game. I will roll the rock confidently every single time. I will talk as much smack as anybody will bear. But you know that in the golf industry, we don't get to play nearly as much. So, going into starting Evolve Golf was a solid 8 handicap. I'm probably a solid 18 handicap these days. I can play it passably.
Who can putt?
Until
that's the scariest 18 is the one who can putt. I'm telling you that right now. Because you never know.
I'm all about it. I just need to find time to get out there and swing the clubs a little bit more.
I've got to know what's on your wall behind you, behind your head. Who's the Cy Young winner on the wall?
Yeah, that's a really interesting story. My mom was the director of marketing for Puma when Roger Clemens was signed. And, I was a big Sox fan, grew up in Massachusetts. And this was, many years of tears before, we put up as many championships this century. But the other side of the century I was involved with was a lot of misery. And this was one of the best moments. I got to meet Roger and he signed the poster for me. So, yeah, that's one of my favorites.
That's too bad you had so much depth to it as a lifelong Blue Jays fan. It's hard to look at. I wish you'd go for a different angle next time.
Do you remember the famous quote about Roger Clemens at that time? The reason the Sox let him go?
Why is that?
The GM said he was in the sunset of his career, and then he goes on to, I can't tell you how many more, World Series wins and four Cy Youngs. And yeah.
Well, I'll tell you
that was painful.
Is baseball your main sport?
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely adore the game. I'm a diehard Red Sox fan. I'll root the laundry in forever, right? but no, I mean, I love football as well. Love golf. The true sport for me, the real passion is skiing. Really? Absolutely love it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I would say it's certainly the most dangerous of the bunch, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, we definitely have scaled it back quite a bit over the years. How about for you? Is it just wide open golf, or is there a little hockey in the Canadian?
I'll tell you what, man. Yeah, I mean, hockey is well in my past, and I have all the aches and pains to go along with it. But I've got a 9-year-old son who is deeply committed to golf, and as is my wife now. So that is the primary. That's awesome. But he's also playing baseball, man. So it returned my love for the Jays, and I've been going nuts on that. So it kind of right now it's golf 1, baseball 2, which is weird because it was always hockey 2. So yeah.
Well, I have an outside hope that we might steal Bichette from you for next year, but we'll see.
If we do, we won't be emailing for a while. I'm going to blame you directly.
That's fair.
Ben, it's so great to have you on and great to see you.
Always a pleasure, Dan. And again, I really do enjoy the show and listening to the insights. I mean, you tell stories better than most, and you drag a lot of them out of all of us. So keep doing what you're doing. It's appreciated by a whole lot of people. I know that.
Thank you, my friend. Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have fun. And if you're like me and you're going to a random golf course and you're curious about what the trinkets they have there, see if they have in a ball booth, because they have so many cool boutique, beautiful pieces that you might really like to hang on to. What I like to call tangible core memory that you can hold on to for the rest of your life. We'll see you guys next week. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Gather around, class. Professor Don here to answer another one of your questions. This week's question is about shaft weight, balance point, and counterbalance. And really the question was, looking at specs nowadays, aren't all shafts really counterbalanced? Well, if you're looking at those kind of specs, you're probably looking at graphite shafts only. If you look at steel shafts like Dynamogold or Project X, they're what we call heavy tip. We put more steel into the tip section, so actually they are more tip balanced than counterbalanced. If you look at graphite, you're probably getting pretty close to right. As we've advanced in materials, we don't need as much material in the tip section for durability purposes. And as heads have gotten heavier because head designers need adapters, movable weights, they love discretionary weight, they've asked us to make the shafts more counterbalanced so they can put more mass into the head while maintaining a relatively normal swing weight. So yes, you are correct. If you were to look at most graphite shafts these days, everything is what I would call neutral balance, with the balance point right in the middle, but definitely trending towards counterbalance, especially in the retail offerings. Hope that answers your question. Talk to you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.